Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 238, part 2, the conclusion to What Wedding Garment? Today is Sunday, March 18th, 2012.
Now you see, to see Jesus brings great joy. It says in the Bible, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And so are we glad when we distinctly discern Him as Lord and God. I'll never forget when I discerned that. When I knew that Jesus Christ was Lord. I know that joy unspeakable and full of plenty. When you know that He is the Lord. And so for the King to come and come in and see the guests shows, I think, a special favor. To look on them, not to judge them, but to admire them. To see them as a finished work. To see them clothed in His glory. To see them turned around and like the madman that ran through the tombs. Little dabble do you brill cream on, don't you know, all slicked up and looking good. He saw them. That was Christ's glory, all of those misfits for the joy that was before Him. And so He came in to admire them that no one wanted. Oh, people, that all, even the born-again people, would have that assurance. And so now let me point out something here tonight. When the King comes in to see the guests, the light grows stronger. When Jesus comes in, when there's a revelation of the Lord, when you see God in something, there's a brighter light. You see more. How many know you see more in yourself the deeper you get into the Lord? The more you know that you're a sinner saved by grace. It says, all things that are hidden are revealed. Motives, desires, dishonesties will be revealed. And so when the Lord visits His church, the ones with no wedding garment will be found out. World Council of Churches, Minnesota Council of Churches, the sleeping church will not stir at the Lord's knocking at its doors. The dead will make no noise till the resurrection trumpet sounds. And then there's going to be a great and mighty noise. Atheist Bible teachers and their teaching in Bible colleges all over will feel very secure till He walks in. And false preachers and men continually using God to elevate themselves. Oh, there's a revealing right now of a lot of that, isn't there? Preaching Jesus is two steps away from coming and then spending millions on new facilities for learning. The Bible says always learning and never coming to know Jesus. Instead of facilities to feed starving millions, instead of drilling, going over into Africa, by Africa, going over there and drilling down in and setting up wells and tapping into the mainstream, praying, believing God for an oasis, of something to happen. Facilities to clothe people. Facilities to shelter people. I mean, how much do you have to learn about feeding someone? You even do that to your baby. Okay, you put a bib on the kid. Come on now, open up. Here comes the fire engine. How much do you need to know to put your kid to bed? How much do you need to know that there's people out there that need... Oh, praise God, there's someone working on that house up there now. Isn't that neat, Jim? Someone's taken on the burden. They've already bricked up that whole side that came out, and they bricked shut the windows, and they're going to put three openings in there so people will be able to get out in case of fire in the basement area. But not only that, it'll be nice for light down there. Where did they come from? Well, they were furnished by Jesus Christ, because I don't know them from nothing. Do you know them, Jim? I don't know them. Where did they come from? Isn't that crazy? God furnished them. Something's going on, ain't it? Something's happening. Don't that tickle you? Well, it tickles me, because we can take them bales of straw out there. We had antelope and deer invading the area. Now, God furnished them. He furnished us with workers. Wow. But when the King comes, all things will be changed. Whom he abideth, says, the day of his coming. Oh my. One leaves the church because he is offended at the doctrine. Another goes because the heart-searching experience is too much. The grace sometimes even becomes a judgment to some, and the finger of the Lord writes upon the wall, "Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting." I wonder what would happen if Jesus would come into his church today. I think there'd be an awful decline. People would panic. I think a lot of shades would be pulled to escape the eye of the Lord. How embarrassing to be in certain meetings and have the Lord our God enter in the middle of a bless me meeting. Would they even recognize Jesus? Or would they stamp their foot and say, "I'm blessed"? Personally, I don't care if you're blessed or not. It's what you do with your blessing. What are you doing? See, the blessing is that you're alive. It's just you're just blessed that you're alive. And now what are you going to do with this blessing of life? I think a lot of people would panic. I said, wouldn't that be embarrassing? In the middle of a prosperity meeting? Can you imagine the King of Kings and Lord of Lords coming in the middle of a prosperity teaching? Oh, wouldn't that fall flat? And the Word says, walk into the throne room of God. Boldly put your case forth. Lord, now according to your word. And here's the Lord that comes and comes into this assembly and walks up. And there's someone there. And I spoke to the Lord this morning. I said, Lord. And here's the Lord coming down that side aisle. Do you think that man's going to shut his mouth? And it says, in the Bible, bowels will be loosed. And that's exactly what happened to that character. And these self-appointed prophets? Ooh. Despise not prophecy, but I'll tell you, there's a whole lot of people out there that are prophesying nonsense. Got people just going out of their minds, making them fearful, you know. Do you know? They get this kind of weird look on their face. The Lord has spoken to me something about you. And this person goes into sort of a dead faint, you know, like, oh, really? Yeah. Well, you out there that are listening to me, you've got yourself in that mess by believing a lot of this. The Bible says you can believe a lie and be damned. If Jesus hasn't spoken to you personally, don't believe some personal prophet to come up and lay a heavy on you. And there's going to be more of that in the end. It's just a way to get out of work. See? But really, as a fruit of the Spirit, is when people go to work. Because the flesh doesn't want to do it. And so the people that are really in the flesh profess to be spiritual and go around and prophesy over the other people. The Lord is showing me, you better get busy and go to work. And then they line them up, just like at a barber shop. Next, and they come in and they sit down and they put a towel around them, you know, and clip them. So they all got the same haircut, like a bowl, like in the old days. And you can tell just exactly what prophet they're going to because they got them bowl haircuts. And they walk out, they're being spiritual and weird. They all walk out. Look like they're from Flatbush, South Dakota. Are you hearing this? Oh, okay. Maybe I sound a little bit cynical, but I tell you what, it's really the truth, isn't it? What a mess we've come into here. We need to invite people to the wedding feast instead of getting into all this. Huh? What good does it do you anyway? You know what? You convince a fool against his will, right? He's of the same opinion still. You can prophesy over somebody. They're still going to do the same thing anyway. That's why there's so many upset prophets. How dare you? I know there's a lot of prophets upset on me. Man, they prophesied over me to go to four corners of the world. I haven't gone yet. I'm still sticking around here. They even prophesied death on you. I had one person years ago say, oh, it was like 5 o'clock in the morning. I just had a dream. I seen you in a casket. Oh, God. Oh, what do you think it means? I says, I don't know. You're going to be the death of me calling this time in the morning. That's all I know. I don't receive it. Goodbye. You know what? They could actually scare somebody to death with that kind of thing. Huh? Every time somebody comes by with a measuring tape, they think it was some kind of a person measuring them up for a casket or something, you know. Oh, I'm sorry if I'm offending you self-appointed prophets out there, but I think you better get right with God and check out your own garments, okay? How embarrassing to be caught with your hands on someone's head! How embarrassing to be caught at a Faith Without Trials meeting! Who said we had to suffer? And here comes Christ with nail-scarred hands. Man, oh man, I don't want to be caught in that. I am just a sinner saved by grace. Yes, Lord, praise God. Mercy, mercy, Lord, mercy. Aren't you ready to cry out mercy? You aren't? Oh, then you'll have none. If you don't show any and you don't give any, you won't get any. Would you like to be caught at one of those meetings? Would you like to be caught someplace because of the fear of man? You just cut and run and you're just sitting there, oh yes. Huh? Oh, not I. Not I. We're going to have decisions to make all the time. During the end, they're going to come on hot and heavy on which way you're going to turn. And there'll be a lot of voices out there. God knows I've heard enough of them. Will we be found doing His work? Millions starving while we argue over doctrine? While we build up a political platform? Can you imagine Jesus walking in to one of those talk shows? And he'll ask, where were you when I was sick? Where were you when I was in prison? Where were you when I was a widowed? Where were you when I was starving? Well, who me, Lord? Lord, I was counting all those barns you blessed me with. Well, four, I had to keep track of them. I'm a good steward. Well, you never gave any of it away. But we have one man here sitting over in the corner who refused to put on the wedding garment. You listening, are you just professing Jesus to please your mate? Or to get a mate? The king will spy you out. This is kind of a hard church to hide in, ain't it? It's always been a hard church to hide in. Well, what is a wedding garment? Someone just said on the radio just now. Is it justification? Is it sanctification or what? No, the wedding garment is one suitable for a marriage feast. I believe it is a distinguishing mark of grace. And so everybody does not wear the wedding garment. And he, by the way, who wears it, puts it on because he is a wedding guest. You know a wedding guest at once by his attire. You know him. You know he's a guest. He has on his suit. He dresses a little different. And so does the true Christian have a mark of belonging. You know what? Give me the rainy people. I want rainy season people. Someone that's been through the rains and someone that's been through the storms. I don't want these fair weather people. I want these hard weather people that have been through the storms of affliction, have been through the rainy weather. Because you know what? Those types of people understand things. They understand pain, they understand people falling, they understand alcoholism, they understand habits, they understand people. They're rainy weather people. They're people that can minister to the needs of others they've been through. You'll know them by their attire. See, if your friends see no difference in you at all, check out your garment. If you fit right in with the world, check out your garment. If your walk and your profession needs a microscope to see it, check out your garments. Check them out. I mean, it should be as visible as the white wedding garments that they wore so much in the Eastern marriages and do now here. And so now listen, these highway and these byway and perverted people couldn't provide garments for themselves. And I read where in the East it's a custom for the king to give the people attire that they don't have them. It's a free gift. They give them the attire. And so the wedding garment is a mark then of pure grace. It's freely given. And it has to be freely received. Isn't that simple? You stop at the door before you enter. You don't have a garment. And you say, oh, I don't have a garment. Well, you've been invited to the feast. You've been chosen to come in. Here's a garment. Will you put it on? Will you put on Christ? Okay, come on in. And they come in through the door. Now there it says in the Bible where someone come in through the back window. No, you got to come in at the door. That's where you get your attire. That's where you get your outfit. That's where you put on Christ. It's a real simple thing. It's freely given and you freely receive it. And there's going to be people all over from the highways and the byways and people that know nothing about Christ at the very end, in this very midnight hour, that are going to say, sure, I'll come to the feast. And they'll put on their garments and they'll walk in there with those garments on. Freely received. Freely given. No hang-ups. No, I ain't got nothing to lose. I know I'm a sinner. How many in here tonight know that they're sinners? Well, you got the garment on. That covers all that. But that keeps you, doesn't it? Knowing where you're at outside of the garment. You're going to keep that garment on, aren't you? Love hides a multitude of sins. Well, some will call that a cover-up. Well, hey, how many in here need a cover-up? Are you hearing this? Are you hearing it? See, the absence of a dress would show irreverence to the Lord, wouldn't it? But yet, the Bible says there were those in there that snuck in. It would show disloyalty. I'll just go to the feast, the man said. I mean, what good would this garment do me anyway with all these derelicts here? Bunch of derelicts. Be careful when you say that. That's what they call a lot of our folks down here on the north side. Derelicts and perverted street people. And the Bible says, I'm going to raise up the derelicts and the low, base, perverted things of the world to confound you, wise guy. And the guy goes on, how could it ever cover their lives? They stink. I'll just wear my own clothes. What's wrong with my clothes? Alligator shoes, $195. Form fit suit, $815. $200 tip for the tailor. Hey, I'm looking all right, if you ask me. I'm dressed, I'm ready to go. I did this all myself. I'm a self-made man. Don't catch me wearing one of them old garments. Oh, no way. Cover up all this? All these good things that I've worked all my life for? My works? No way. Not I. Do-it-yourself clothes, I call them. With all of my years of work, this represents everything I've done. Look at all these hash marks on this suit. And plus, I got on my works medals. It'll cover up my works medals, my fruit to boot medals. That'd be like someone attending a funeral with a wedding suit. No, the wedding garment shows respect for the king. I receive you as my God, my Lord, and my Savior. Put on the garment, Lord. And so the wedding garment was a token of honor for the prince. Those that put it on were saying, we join the Prince of Peace. We come to show our attachment to him. You listening? You listening on the radio? Do you feel an attachment to the Lord? Do you feel a love for Christ? Many don't feel any love for him at all. I mean, we should preach Jesus Christ, not politics. We should preach Jesus Christ, not how moral we are. Can you imagine Jesus coming into a moral majority meeting when everyone there is burning all of the dirty, filthy books and breaking all of the records and going on with all of their thing? I mean, some of it's nuts. Oh, I know I'll suffer for saying it. I don't care. It is totally nuts. It says, judge not the world, for the world is already under judgment. Paul himself, when he walked and he seen all of the different gods that the Greeks had. Oh, that's a nice looking god you got there. Oh, what is this? Oh, this is the goddess of fertility. Yeah, and this is a Zor and Thor and thunder and lightning and so on and so on. We got hundreds of them. Oh, they're all very nice. But let me show you the God over all your gods. He didn't put those gods down. He lifted his God up. Do you understand what I'm getting at? A lot of this stuff is nonsense. marching around the drugstores and marching around the hospitals and marching, it doesn't do a thing. You got to lift up Jesus in it. See, when we do that, in a way we judge the world. Instead of ministering the gospel, we minister our self-righteousness. And they even burn some of these places. God told me to do it. He didn't tell you to do that. He didn't tell you to get into that. No, He did not tell you to do that. He told you, judge not the world. In the same measure that you judge, you'll be judged yourself. In the same measure that you mete it out. And if you don't show no mercy, I won't give you no mercy. And blessed is the peacemaker. What kind of peace is that? Dumping gas all over someplace and burning it. Well, you'll go to jail, and you know why? Because God is over the jail. And God is over the police. And God is over the judges. Now tell me that's of the Lord. Now I know. You're just going to, I'll hear a lot about that now. I'll hear about it, but I'll just tell you, I'd hate to have the Lord come in and catch me at one of them moral majority meetings. I'll tell you, I'd hate to have them doing it. Me in there trying to act like I'm so moral. Do people really know themselves and how unmoral they are, really? And if you get right down to their low, base nature and stand there judging everybody else? Ooh, I don't want to be in on it. Do you? How many of you want to be in on something like that? Not I. My morality is Jesus Christ. My spirituality is receiving Christ, and that's as spiritual as I'll ever get. I want to climb. I want to grow. Huh? Come as a child. Come as a child. Be careful when you think you know something, know nothing at all. Lord, I've been to all these teachings and stuff. I've got a lot of wisdom and knowledge and stuff. Well, don't know anything at all. Now you're all puffed up. Now the next thing you're going to get is all self-righteous. Oh, you see the folly in the whole thing? And now the choosing of camps over here and the choosing of camps over there. And just watch the next election. It's going to be a fiasco. Are you hearing this? How moral are you? No, don't judge the world, the Bible says. The world is already under judgment. Besides, the great light will reveal that many things claimed are not so. We all need the wedding garment. Love, it says, and I'll say it again, covers a multitude of sins. And then again, the wedding garment shows a confession of sympathy with the great occasion. Do you bless God with the covenant of grace, which includes incarnation, redemption, sanctification? Then you have on the wedding garment. Do you believe that when you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, thou wilt be saved? Do you believe that you are a sinner and you need Jesus Christ every waking moment of every day? And your only morality is in Jesus Christ, and your only spirituality is in Jesus Christ, and He is the Lord of all, and He is the God of all? Do you believe that He came here in the flesh and died in the flesh, that all of your sins would be covered? And praise God, that's the truth, and that's the gospel, and that's all you have to say, and that's all you have to believe. You can barely believe that. Why do you have to believe all these other things? And so this man could not conform that we're talking about here tonight. He was so, let's say, self-willed. And so one of the requirements of the feast is that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive His righteousness and throw your own righteousness, your own filthy rags out the window. Can't you see the self-righteousness and your own righteousness in saying, hey, we are moral, we are this, we are that, and so on and so on and so on. Can't you see the self-building and all of that? And so if you'll not accept Jesus as your substitute, bearing your sins in his own body, it says on a tree, you have not on the wedding garment. Another requirement is that you should repent of sin and forsake it. You should follow after Jesus and copy his example. Agree with Jesus. Then you have on the wedding garment. Sell all you have. Follow me. Be my disciple. Hate everything in respect to loving me. Do everything for the cause of Christ. Well, so who is the man that has not on the wedding garment? A man who rejects the gospel that is revealed. To follow after his own thought and his own wisdom. And don't we cloud that? And aren't there a lot of people out there now? They're confused. My God, they're confused. They're looking out there now and we're even fighting amongst ourselves. And they're out there watching all of this fiasco going on. And they're saying, well, what's the truth? What is the truth? And they get into all of these different various doctrines and dogmas and so on and arguments that they're having on TV now and political waves here and political waves there. And people are confused. It says they're like the sea. Bible says that people are like the sea, heaving, heaving, heaving. They don't know where to go. Pretty sad, isn't it? Pretty sad. Maybe you even sit in church, but really you wear your own thoughts. Maybe you're glorying in your own self instead of glorying in Christ. Let me close this message. God, I hope they hear it out there. He speaks out justification, but doesn't mean it. Is that a person they're listening today on the radio? He accepts the philosophy robes over the robe of revelation. He is the man who refuses the righteousness of God because he has a righteousness of all his own. He thinks his works and his workahalls will cover him and it won't do it. He thinks, I'm like the elder's son. I do all the plowing. They're out there playing and I'm doing all the plowing. And now you invite all these grubbies in here. And he accepts his own righteousness over the blood of Jesus Christ. He sees nothing in the gospel to make him glad or to sing about. Nothing to make him shout. The Bible says, shout for joy. I have to shout for joy because I know Jesus Christ covers me. He will not praise the prince. He is under the law. He is content to be a slave. He is trying to save himself by his own works and law. And you know, law knows no holidays. He's not a wedding guest, but what we call it one week here, a drudge. See, some have a profession, but with no feeling. When outside the church, his conscience bothered him. Now inside, he says, I'm okay. He knows no power in the word, none whatsoever, only the letter. And there's a lot of them preaching on the radio today. They don't know the grace message. They don't want to receive the grace message. They live by a pure letter. This man commits no grosser sin. You know what he is, spiritually speaking? He's nothing but a well-washed corpse. No more. But the Lord asks, how comest thou hither? If he didn't like the king, he could have stayed outside. And there he could have displayed his hate. He could have displayed his rebellion. He could have said, I don't want nothing to do with it. If you listening on the radio have made a resolve to be lost, don't add to your eternal ruin with a profession of religion. That goes for the whole church. No gospel message, no altar calls, no challenge. Whole churches with no wedding garments on, none whatsoever. But let me take another 25, 30 seconds here. Why was the man speechless? Because the king spoke to him. Can you imagine the king speaking to you? saying, where were you? My saying doesn't mean much. My saying, this doesn't mean a whole lot. But you can't invent an answer before the glory of God. He couldn't say, I didn't know, because he saw the rest with the wedding garments on. He could have had one for nothing. Free gift, a free gift. And that's how we have to preach it. It's a free gift. God gives it to all. No, he chose to defy the rules. And all the guests had looked at him. Some even moved away. Some even probably tenderly said, brother, will you not put on a wedding garment? And he answered, no. He added, I came to defy him. I mean to keep my place. I mean to keep on my own clothes. I'm good enough. No wonder the king said, bind him hand and foot. Cast him out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Listen, you out there. Don't risk your eternal future. Join a church only if you love Jesus. Take off your own robes and put on the robes of Christ. It's a free gift. Let me read something here in closing. The Lord's prompting me. It was no big thunderbolt or anything. It just came to me. Oh, glory. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Reading out of Romans 8 and verse 28, starting in 28. For whom He foreknew, He also predestinated to become conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom He predestinated, now see, He's doing the whole thing, isn't He? And whom He predestinated, these He also called. And whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Who will bring charge, and listen to this, against God's elect? And that's what you are sitting here tonight. God is the one who justifies. Isn't this beautiful? Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is He who died. Yes, rather, who is raised, who is at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us. In another place it says, He intercedes forever for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, for Thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we are overwhelmingly conquered through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, glory to God, once you've received Jesus Christ, can separate you once you've been bought by the blood and covered and put on the wedding garment. Glory to God. You are covered. Hallelujah. Isn't that a wonderful message? Isn't that something to take out there right now when there's a sick and sorry world out there? Isn't that something to live on? Isn't that something to feast on? Isn't that something to work towards? Isn't that something to put all your heart into the mission down here and to really get behind the thing and to see the thing grow and to see people brought into the feast and practice them coming into a feast like that for that great feast that's before them? And don't judge anybody and say, hey, these are the people that God has called. God has furnished us with people. God has furnished us with help. God has furnished us with money. God has furnished us with food. God has furnished us with breath. God has furnished us with eyes to see with. God has furnished us with ears to hear with. God has furnished us with a desire to do His will. And that desire, glory to God, is what's going to take you through. Hallelujah. Did you hear this message tonight? Let's hear it for the Lord here tonight. Glory to God for Jesus.
Thank you for listening to episode 238, part 2 of Pastor Paul's podcast. Be sure to listen to episode 239 next Friday, What Peace? Have a great week. God bless you.